You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for your daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. And now, welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Samperio of Chavez Ream Fiends, but Vince will be here later. We're doing a split episode today, and so I will take you through the first half, and then Vince will come along and clean up after my mess, basically. So, I'm going to give you a little bit of a backstage Locked On Dodgers, talk a little bit about yesterday's crossover episode, some of the feelings about the Astros that it sparked in me, and we're going to talk about this first game of the Astros series, which the Dodgers won 9-2, talk about Kershaw's performance, a few things like that. But first, I want to remind you, please follow Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts, and when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. All right, so I'll be honest with you. Some of you reached out to me and told me you had a hard time listening to yesterday's crossover episode that I did with the guys from Locked On Astros because of how you feel about the Astros and maybe specifically about how one or two of the hosts of that other show maybe were a little bit defiant or in denial about the fact that the Astros cheated. And, you know, I know those guys. And they're both good guys. I get what you're saying. Specifically, Brett, you know, definitely takes a little bit more of a hard line of we would have won the World Series. We were good enough to win anyway. He got even more defiant on Twitter going back and forth with some of you guys that I saw. You know, that's fine. You know, but my feelings about the Astros are conflicted. And honestly, doing that episode, it wasn't very fun for me. One of you told me in a text message at 323-863-LOCK-5625, that you only got about 10 minutes in the episode, then you had to turn it off. And I responded half jokingly saying, you know what, that's about how far I got in before I regretted doing it. And, you know, my feelings about the Astros are conflicted because, on the one hand, I do feel bad for Astros fans who felt betrayed by their cheating team the way that I would feel if the Dodgers did that. You know, I do a Dodgers podcast 5 days a week. I would feel extremely betrayed if I found out that the Dodgers were cheaters, especially the way the Astros did it. Like, you know, I guess there's degrees of cheating. I don't know. In my perfect world, I want the team I root for to be playing by the rules. And so I would feel extremely, extremely betrayed if I found out the Dodgers had done what the Astros did. So I do feel really bad for Astros fans who feel that way, the way I would feel. But I'm also kind of annoyed by the fans who get defiant about it. And like I said, it wasn't very fun doing that episode because, you know, it was a live YouTube episode. There were a lot of people watching and commenting, and it was mostly Astros fans. And they had this weird combination of passion and lack of information, or a combination of like extreme confidence without a leg to stand on. And it's like, well, how do you try to communicate with somebody like that? They're just so blinded by fandom. And we talked about this in the locker room episode the other day, that fandom turns us all kind of stupid. You know, we all have blind spots for our team, but I like to think that my blind spot wouldn't be like that. And so, I mean, they are just so confident that MLB was out to get the Astros and everybody does exactly what the Astros did. And MLB used the Astros as a scapegoat. And it's like, I don't understand how an intelligent person can actually believe that, but I know that some intelligent people do. And so it's like, I don't know. I don't know what to do with that. And so it just wasn't very fun for me. You know, and I did call out the one guy on the episode who was spewing misinformation about Chavez Ravine, saying the Dodgers kicked people out of their homes. But that was just because I happened to have just read a really great book. I did an interview with the author on this podcast, Eric Nussbaum, his book Stealing Home, that talked about exactly how that went. And the fact is 95% of those people had already been kicked out of their homes long before the Dodgers ever even thought about moving to LA. It was they were kicked out of their homes to do a low-income housing project. And then with the Red Scare in the early 50s with Joe McCarthy and all that, people afraid of communism, they thought, ooh, low-income housing sounds like a communist project. And that was basically what shut down that project. But by then, they had already kicked people out of their homes and taken the land. So, you know, yeah, the Dodgers did eventually end up on this land where a community used to be. But it wasn't the Dodgers that did it, and it wasn't even done for the Dodgers originally. And so I see this guy, and you know, one of my character flaws is I have a hard time watching somebody say something stupid and not calling him out on it. I really should be better at that. But you know, this guy, he was blatantly wrong, so I called him out. It wouldn't have hurt me to let that dummy be a dummy, but I just ended up having to correct him. So, you know, so what does that mean about the actual Astros? Like, do I care more about the games when the Dodgers play the Astros? And I realized today on Tuesday, as I was getting ready for the game to start, I really don't. Like, I care a lot more about the Giants series from this past weekend and this upcoming weekend than I do about the Astros series, because the Giants games actually affect the Dodgers in the standings. Obviously, I want the Dodgers to win every game they play. But other than that, it's like, I don't care that they're playing the Giants or the Astros. I care more about Padre games for the same reason, because the Dodgers are actually competing with the Padres in the division. For me, playing the Astros is just another game. You know, I cared a ton more on Tuesday night about how Kershaw was doing on the mound than I did because they were playing the South Texas Cheating Cheaters. Like, I get really emotionally invested in Kershaw starts. It didn't have that much to do with the fact they were playing the Astros. Now, it was fun to watch Kershaw dominate the Astros in the same stadium where the Astros cheated to dominate him a few years ago. I mean, that was enjoyable, but mostly just because I care about Kershaw. Like, in the end, like, the Astros, like, if you just absolute value, you like the mathematical term where, you know, negative 8 and 8 both have an absolute value of 8. So if you talk about how much I care about a team just on absolute value-wise, like, so, you know, I care about the Dodgers 100 and I care about the Giants like negative 60, you know, or whatever it is. But absolute value, it's like, I don't know, the Astros are like a 6, like a negative 6. Like, they're just middle of the pack. They're just another team. And I'm glad the Dodgers beat them because they are who was on the schedule on Tuesday night. And I want the Dodgers to always beat the team that's on their schedule because that's all they can do on any given day. I do think I'm probably not going to do another crossover episode with those guys. Nothing against Eric and Brett. Like, they're perfectly nice guys. We talked for several minutes before the episode, several more minutes after the episode. I like the guys just fine, but I don't have any interest in being part of that part of what's going on because I just don't care that much. So, you know, I'm glad the Dodgers beat the Astros. I hope they do it again today with Trevor Bauer on the mound. And that's about all I have to say about the Astros. So I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about the Dodgers and what they did in their game on Tuesday night that happened to be against the Astros. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Okay, I've told you guys I'm not an investing expert, but I've done a lot of investing. And one thing I've learned is that a person like me has no chance of beating the market. But studies show, decades of data show, that only 1% of day traders beat the market. It just don't do it that way. Instead of trying to beat those odds, just team up with Wealthfront instead. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. It's super easy. There's no manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonMLB and start growing your savings today at wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All right, I'm going to tell you about a candy bar. Imagine a candy bar that is so good, you love it, and you just, it's your guilty pleasure. You sneak into your closet at night to eat this candy bar. And then one night you happen to look at it and you say, wait a second, this only has 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar, and it has 17 grams of protein, and it's high in fiber, and it's super healthy. What is this magic? I'll tell you what this magic is. It's Built Bar. It's not a candy bar. It's a protein bar, but your taste buds won't know that because it's delicious. They have a ton of different flavors. They all have chocolate. They're all good, and they're all delicious and healthy. And so whatever you're trying to do, lose weight, build muscle, you know, doing keto, whatever it is, Built Bar is the way to do it because you don't have to deny yourself delicious food in order to eat healthy. And that's the great thing about Built Bar. The other great thing about Built Bar is if you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you will get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. All right. So like I said, on Tuesday night, the Dodgers beat the Astros 9-2. And, you know, a few notable things about this. Vince will have some other things to talk about. But, you know, Justin Turner had the two-run home run, had two hits, hit the ball well. I mentioned after Sunday's game that even though Turner was 0-for-3, he hit the ball well, and it looked like he might be starting to break out. Hopefully this is a sign of things to come for Turner because he's been struggling offensively. Max Muncy walked again, and, you know, he's leading the league in WAR, at least one version of WAR right now. Max Muncy is becoming a legitimate MVP candidate, you know, and then the big news, I mean, it's not really news on Tuesday, but kind of the looming news is that Cody Bellinger and Zach McKinstry are close to coming back. They're both going to be back this weekend probably. And this Dodger team that coming into the season, we knew they have so much depth, and that depth has really been tested. And the bullpen depth is still going to be tested. But offensively, the Dodgers are about to get most of that depth back. You know, they'll still have A.J. Pollock out. They still have Corey Seager out. And it's kind of remarkable that we can mention A.J. Pollock and Corey Seager almost as afterthoughts here, but because when they get Bellinger and McKinstry back, suddenly they are back to trying to find at bats for all their good hitters. And for, you know, fans like us who we've watched DJ Peters and Luke Raley and Sheldon Noisy and whoever else getting these at bats, and it's like, the fact that now we're going to have every player on the roster be a legitimate big leaguer, it is a really big deal. You know, Belly's going to go back to center field, which frees up Chris Taylor, you know, to play left field a lot of days. But, you know, Matt Beatty still needs his starts. McKinstry can play second base a lot of the time, or Taylor can play second base, you know, McKinstry and left, which frees Max Muncy up to go back over to first base, where he's basically a Gold Glover this year. It frees up Albert Pujols to be a bat off the bench. Same with Yoshi Setsugo. You know, all these guys, they're going to have major leaguers at every position and major leaguers ready to come off the bench, whether it's for platoon reasons or just, you know, for a day off. You know, you can start giving guys days off, you know, whether it's playing whoever, Muncy at third, Beatty at third, Setsugo at third, whoever it is to give JT a day off his feet, Chris Taylor at third. Gavin Lux is probably going to need a day off once in a while. Chris Taylor can play short. They have that depth coming back. And, you know, I'm not expecting a ton from Bellinger and McKinstry immediately, even though they both looked pretty okay in AAA. McKinstry's probably looked better. Belly's hit 2 home runs, but he's like 3-for-16. So it's not like he's tearing the cover off the ball overall. But just having that dynamic defender and that potential on offense is really, really exciting. And so, you know, the Dodgers weathered that storm where they were 5-15 over that 20-game stretch. It was ugly. Now they've, you know, they've won, I don't know, 12 out of 13 games. I don't even know what it is right now. They're half a game out of first place behind the Padres. They've got a big series coming up with the Giants and those two guys coming back. And it's really exciting. And, like, I know that's cheesy to say. Like, I'm so excited. But I really am because this is a good Dodgers team right now. They're dominating. And they're about to get two legit major league players back, which is really, really exciting. It's the only word for it. I'm excited to see what the Dodgers do. Obviously, they're going to lose some games. They may even have another losing streak this year. I don't know. But overall, this team that's currently really good is about to get even better. And that's it's really cool. A good time to be a Dodger fan. You know, I still believe that the Dodgers are going to somewhat run away with this division. Maybe they're not going to win it by 13 games like I predicted before the season, but I think, you know, the Dodgers are the best team in the division. I firmly believe that, and they're showing that. The Padres are playing well too, but I think, you know, overall the Dodgers are going to prove that they are the better team over the course of a long season. And, you know, and then it'll come down to short series in the postseason. And maybe the Padres do make noise in the postseason. But overall, over the course of 162 games, the Dodgers are the best team in the National League West. And that's what I'm excited about. And so, you know, the last thing I want to talk about before I turn it over to Vince is Clayton Kershaw. Looked really, really good against the Astros, went 7 2/3, only threw like 81 pitches or something. But he got pulled after that 7 2/3, mostly for health precautions, really, because in the top of the eighth, the Dodgers batted for a half hour. And, you know, the Astros used three different pitchers. They had an injury delay, and it was just, you know, it just took a long time. And we saw that in that game against the Angels. That was part of the reason that Roberts pulled Kershaw earlier in that blowout game against the Angels than fans would have liked, because he had had back-to-back innings where he had to sit for a long time. And you could see he was wearing on his effectiveness. And overall, you know, I kind of viewed this as like a bonus game. I should say, I totally agree with Dave Roberts' decision, how he handled it. You know, you could tell that he and Kershaw had a conversation in the dugout during that long inning, and Roberts said, I'm going to send you out there for two hitters, and once we turn over the lineup to start facing the lineup for the fourth time, we'll get you out of there. And when Roberts came out, Kershaw wasn't surprised, and he wasn't unhappy. He knew that it was the right time. And he even said after the game, he said that his job is to pitch as well as he can and make that a hard decision for Roberts to make. But Kershaw understands that Dave Roberts manages for the long season, and I almost always agree with that approach. And so, you know, I would have been fine if they hadn't sent Kershaw even back out to start the eighth inning. I would have been fine if they let him face Altuve, try to get that third out. But overall, I really liked that approach of, you know, Kershaw came out to the mound knowing I get these two hitters. And we saw the same thing in the World Series. And then, you know, in that World Series game five, I guess, he got those two hitters on two pitches, and people were mad that Roberts was pulling him out. But Kershaw agreed with that one too. You know, and so I am a firm believer that when a manager has a plan, he should stick to it. The alternative is what we saw with Terry Collins and Matt Harvey in 2015 World Series, and that did not go well for the Mets. You know, not to say that Kershaw would have imploded if Roberts had changed his plans, but I like when a manager sticks to his plans and has a plan for the long season. So, yeah, you know, it would have been fun to see Kershaw pitch a complete game, and I think he might have if it hadn't been for that 30-minute inning. But in the end, you know, Kershaw's overall long-term health is the important thing, and having him healthy in October is what Dave Roberts is shooting for, and I think he handled it pretty well. So that's about all I have to say. Vince will be along in a minute. I don't know exactly what he's going to talk about. I know he was at the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes game tonight, saw Diego Cartaya among other Dodgers prospects, so he may give a little update on that. I don't know for sure, but whatever it is, it'll be great because Vince is great. So thanks for sticking with me, and Vince will be along in a minute.
Yo, 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 it's Vince here to finish out the episode. Shout out to Jeff for holding it down yesterday with the Astros guys and holding it down again in the first half of today's show. Real quick, I'll get into finish out this segment with just, you know, Jeff made his feelings clear about how he doesn't feel different about the Astros games. And I'm here to be the opposite side of that and be like, hey, this still matter. Even with only 10 players from the 2017 teams still on the rosters, those are some key players. You got Kershaw, Jansen, Turner, who are key guys for the Dodgers. You know, Taylor, all guys that have been prominent players for the Dodgers. And then for the Astros, you got the main culprits. You got Altuve, you got Bregman, you got Gurriel, you got Correa. So regardless of how you feel, you know, we got robbed last year. Well, they wouldn't have played the Astros last year. Would they have? Either way, we got robbed last year of having fans in the crowd. So I believe this is the last year where it'll still hold some luster. The Dodgers fans can get their money's worth over there in Houston, and then we'll get our money's worth over here in LA. And I think this is last year it'll still have some luster and mustard for me. After this year, it won't really matter too much. The Dodgers already won the World Series. But like Austin Barnes said, you're never really going to let that one go. And maybe if the Dodgers win like four or five in a row, I can maybe let 2017 go. But that's a long way to come in order for that to happen. So, yeah, if these Astros games care or matter to you, they matter a little bit more. Obviously, you want to win all the games. But you want to win these a little bit more, not just for the fact of Dodgers beating the Astros, not just for the fact of Clayton Kershaw having a good start and, you know, kind of erasing or showing us what maybe would have happened if the Astros didn't know what was coming back in 2017, but also just to deal with Astros fans. They're already insufferable. If you deal with them on social media or in real life, I feel bad for you. But at least if the Dodgers win, they've pretty much owned them since 2017. Overall in the series, so you can take some solace in that and use that as fuel if you really want to. And come back and talk a little bit more about game one of this series and a little bit about seeing Diego Cartaya's debut with the Quakes, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. You already know that BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, but if you don't listen to these ads, or if you have been listening to these ads, I'm on a hot streak. I've picked the last three times I've given you bets, so let's take one more. Bauer, Garcia, Dodgers, Astros. The Dodgers are currently 1.5 run favorites, which means they'd have to win the game by two. We're going to take that. We're going to take the Dodgers with the 1.5 plus 120, however much you want to put down on it. You're going to double your money real quick, and that's all you got to do. And you can go to BetOnline for all your news, odds, and info for every sport, not just baseball. And right now you can get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit when you go to BetOnline and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's BetOnline, promo code LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we're back. Let's do a quick recap. Cody Bellinger, Zach McKinstry both played for OKC Dodgers in their rehab assignments. Zach McKinstry went 3-for-4. Cody Bellinger hit a home run. Both look like they're ready to go. They'll probably get at least one more game in and then join the Dodgers when they come back home and face the Giants this weekend, which means we could be seeing the last days of DJ Peters on the active roster, and probably one of the other relievers will go down, and then the Dodgers will finally be at somewhat full strength, at least offensively, with Seager obviously still out, but you know, as close to full strength as they can be right now with Seager being the big caveat. But yeah, I mean, the Dodgers offense put up 9 runs, 7 hits, 9 walks. They left 15 men on base and still put up 9 runs, which is a good and bad sign. Obviously, we would like them not to leave 15 men on base, but to put up 9 runs, to do it in different ways, to beat Zach Greinke once again. I believe Zach Greinke is now 7-8 against the Dodgers in his career. ERA over 4 for sure. So it's nice to see it. You know, Mookie Betts back in the lineup. That was good to see. Justin Turner hitting. That was good to see. Max Muncy just continuing to get on base, even if he's not hitting. Will Smith added a hit. Chris Taylor added a couple hits, one key one with bases loaded. Albert Pujols didn't do too much, actually struck out twice, but that's okay. He's going to be relegated more to a bench role once Bellinger and McKinstry are back, and he'll probably get occasional start here and there. Gavin Lux continues his hot torrid streak. You just look at the Dodgers' OPSs down the line. Betts is at 810, Turner at 826, Muncy 996, Smith 858, Taylor 898. Then you got Pujols at 617, but like I said, he's going to get back down to not an everyday role. Matt Beatty's at 740, which is pretty good considering he's had slow start, strong middle, and a little bit of lacking lately. Gavin Lux is up to 696. He's right there on the cusp of getting to 700 when he was just around 500 not that long ago. So the Dodgers offense, the Astros offense was getting a lot of praise coming into this game, so averaging about 6 runs a game for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Clayton Kershaw shut him down, and the Dodgers offense did what they need to do and what they always do, and that's, get on base and maybe not always score, but they did score that enough. And the Dodgers are sitting 12 games over 500. I don't know if anybody's noticed that. They were hovering around 500 just a few weeks ago. They had got to 17 losses, and then everyone was like, oh, they only lost 17 games all of last year in the 60 games. Now, obviously, they're at 30-18, so they're not going to beat their 60-game pace from last year. But there's going to be 102 more games after that, so they'll be able to keep a torrid pace and maybe push that back into greatest team the Dodgers have had, over 100 wins, maybe over 110 wins. Who knows how hot they're going to keep it, but the Dodgers are rolling right now. The Padres on the other side are rolling right now, and they match up again in a month, so we'll see where they're at in a month. The Dodgers could potentially be in first place at the end of today if the Padres lose and the Dodgers win. So It's a fun time right now to be a fan of baseball in Los Angeles, specifically the Dodgers. Not a fan of that other team in Los Angeles, but Shohei Ohtani's cool, so I guess, or, you know, the fake Los Angeles, they're in Anaheim. But either way, the other thing I wanted to get into real quick, I got to go to the Quakes game last night. Diego Cartaya was assigned to the Quakes after starting the season with an injury. And he went 1-for-3 with a walk, an RBI single. The biggest thing that stood out to me, dude is huge. He looks like a major league baseball player right away. He, you know, the Quakes are now low A, so they get a lot of younger guys, a lot of guys born in 2000, 2001, 2002, around that range. They're all 18 to 20 range for the most part. And Diego Cartaya stood out. He's a man amongst boys down there. I doubt he stays there too long. He's probably going to get the call up to high A and go to Great Lakes probably in the next month or so. But it was nice to see him. He just looked smooth behind the plate. He threw out a runner at third. Tried to throw out a runner at second. A little bit of a tough play, ball in the dirt. He made the best out of it. But, yeah, threw out a runner at third. Looked pretty good defensively. Was really active. Was talking to his defenders and making sure people knew what was going on. At the plate, he looked really smooth. When he walked, he was down 0-2. Ended up working it back down to 3-2. He struck out in a key situation later in the game. But, again, he started that at-bat 0-2 and ended up working it to 3-2. And then just foul-tipped a strikeout. RBI single came up clutch there and flew out, allowed fly out in his first at bat. So yeah, the kid's a stud. The other guys down there in high A, Jake Vogel's a name you might know, struggling to make contact. Makes sense. His high school season was cut short last year, didn't really get too much work the rest of the year, and then is now, you know, facing professional pitching, which is a different thing. But he is fast. He got on base, though, second at one point. And yeah, the kid, if he can learn how to make contact and make consistent contact, he's going to be fun for years to come. The thing that stood out to me was that there's a lot of guys in this low A team that I'm not really sure who they are. But after watching the game, I'm definitely going to pay a little bit more attention. The one guy that stood out, and I've never heard of him before, was Jorbit Vivas, who played second base. A little small guy, but was just really quick, really smart on the bases, really aggressive. Made a nice turn on a double play at second base. Not sure if he's a guy for the Dodgers, but he definitely looked like a guy last night. Definitely stood out the most. But for, you know, for those of you that haven't been to a Quakes game or maybe skeptical for the Quakes now that they are a lower level and not as many prominent names are there, it's still a fun time. It was still a great time. Still baseball for cheap. I got $15 tickets right behind home plate. You know, like, luckily for me, I got to see Diego Cartaya. But, you know, there's a few guys there that you might recognize and you might notice, and a few guys that, hey, you can, if they ever come up and play with the Dodgers, you'd be like, hey, I remember seeing him. So make sure to go check out a Quakes game if you have a chance. They're still doing giveaways and promotions. Just, you know, look up the dates. I know they got jerseys and a couple bobbleheads and stuff like that. So yeah, go check out the Quakes. Go Dodgers. Lakers won as well. Good night in Los Angeles. You know, the Clippers lost, which is probably a good night in Los Angeles overall for a lot of people. But yeah, Dodgers play the Astros one more time. Then they got four with the Giants this weekend. And the final games of social distancing are starting to wrap up. They got these four with the Giants. They got three, I believe, with the Cardinals. And then they got a couple more in June before the June 15th date of when it opens up fully. Go get your tickets. Go enjoy social distance seating one more time before the stadium starts filling up. And you got to sit next to people. You can't put your feet up in the row in front of you and stuff like that. But yeah, go do all that. Make sure to, that's going to do it for today's episode. Make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to tell your friends and family, tell your coworkers, tell anybody about the Dodgers podcast that you already listen to and you think they should listen to. Then you guys can compare and contrast and have notes or whatever and do things like that. If you're not a daily listener, we are here every Monday through Friday. Why don't you go ahead and bump that up at least one time a week and give us an extra listen and, you know, just help us out and help yourself out. And listen to about the Dodgers. If you want to get a hold of us, you can follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. DMs are open there. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. You can get a hold of us through text or voicemail at 323-863-LOCK or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, LeBron James and the Lakers get even against the Suns. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye.